Attic Nate Billy. By the way, it's Rappahannock area, Narcotics Anonymous. Anyway, I'm Attic Nate Billy. Oh, my bad. Is that good? First of all, the topic relationships. When I tell anybody, like they ask me what I'm sharing on, and I tell them, you know, because it's relationships, the ties that bind. But I can't even get to the ties that bind part before they start laughing. You know what I mean? When they think it's on relationships. So thank God I'm not sharing on like relationships, like romantic relationships, because I could share really good on like what not to do. Yeah, that is a fact. But anyway, when she called me, she's even on the phone, Aaron, who asked me to share, which me running my big mouth to my friend Adam, I'm like, yeah, I want to share at Ocean City. I'd love to share at Ocean City and all that, because they asked me to, I thought they said to chair the marathon meeting at 3 a.m. Like, I got the call, like, my Ocean City call, like, you know what I mean? I'm going to chair. And I'm like, what? Do they know who they're calling? Like, they should be calling me for, like, a workshop. You know what I mean? Or something like that. And I bounced it off Adam because I wasn't going to take it. It's 3 a.m., dude. I got to drive to Quantico, like, the next day. Like, that's totally a commitment you could get, like, a cosign to, like, not take. And Adam was like, when I said that whole speech, he was like, I think you need to take that commitment. You know what I mean? Like, your ego's a little too big. But anyway, so when she called and she said, first of all, they called him and not my ass, dude, and he gave her my name. So I'm totally not qualified to share. I'm only sharing because my best friend's working with something, right? So anyway, relationships, the ties that bind, man. You know, I'll be honest, dude, this is Ocean City. I love Narcotics Anonymous. This is Ocean City, man. Ocean City, 42 days clean, right? Relationships, the ties that bind, you know. My first NA meeting outside of detox, you know, I sat in the front row, you know, I was broken enough, beat the fuck up enough to sit on the front row and listen. And I heard our message, you know, I heard our message. I didn't hear all the profound, whatever, whatever, but what I did hear was, first of all, no offense, but when the lady that just like, all right, I'm not going to go there. Hold up. Somebody shared, you never have to use again. I almost went a direction I don't need to do. I already did that at the panel meeting at H&I, and I had to cover it up with. They should not record me, dude, for one thing. Yeah. I got to just check myself, dude, because I have no filter. I'm trying to cause harm today. Anyway, somebody shared, you never have to use again. Dude, I wanted to run out the room. That's just for me. I just don't like that phrase, unless you put just for today right after it. Because when I heard you never have to use again, I heard you never get to use again. Right? And I wanted to leave. Because I thought this was a program of abstinence forever. And dude, first of all, if I get really nervous, I start saying dude, like count the dudes. If it's under 25, I've successfully shared. Right? And Kepper said, because I have a Slayer shirt, that I fucking, it's a good share anyway, because I'm representing another fellowship of people that love that kind of music. So anyway, where the hell was I at, dude? Oh, front row at an Narcotics Anonymous meeting, dude. Wait, was I there?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Yeah, you got it.
Relationships, the ties that bind, dude. So I was broken enough to listen, dude. I heard the message, man. And I remember one dude that shared, and you know, I didn't identify with the recovery in the room. Because first of all, the first Narcotics Anonymous meeting was my meeting. You know how they say don't crosstalk? Well, they crosstalked. They all crosstalked right at my ass at the noon meeting. Dude, our noon meeting in Fredericksburg, Virginia is the cutting edge of the disease and recovery. And it could go either way at any given meeting. It could be a hot mess of craziness. I mean, we've had people like nodding out that are chairing the meeting. You know what I mean? Or it could be like a total like God like hit, man, where you're just like, whoa, it's like crap, dude. You know what I mean? It's either high or low. NA's kind of like that, dude. Like the other fellowship, dude, they're like way too put together for me. You know what I mean? I used to do that for a while. I'm like, these guys are like too, it's like too squared away or something, man. They're like NA. But, you know, and so I said it for, and what I heard was, I heard the dude, I don't know why, I always share about my first sponsor, man. Dude, I love my first sponsor. I mean, my first sponsor, dude, he was like a rock star, dude. Because when I sat in the front row and he shared, and the other people in that noon meeting, I'm so grateful for the people that went to that noon meeting. You know, I could start naming names. There's about seven or eight that pop in my head. Three or four of them are here. And I just don't want to because I'm afraid I'd leave one of them out. But there was about seven or eight or nine people that showed up at that noon meeting, dude. You know, and I thought that they were like the fucking smartest people in the world, man. I mean, this stuff was so profound. Like, if I don't, like, call a drug, like, if I don't pick it up, I won't get high. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. You know, like, if I don't use today, right? Today, you know, I'll be clean. You know? I had no intention of not using any drugs. Pot was not a part of this. Weed was not in this equation. But somehow or another, I had 10 days of complete abstinence at an NA meeting, and I heard our message, man, that any addict, you know, I'm not sure they phrased it that way, and I'm phrasing it that way to sound good, but I heard our message that I was that addict, dude. I was that any addict. You know, that any addict, dude. And the pain's a motivator. Pain will either drive me to use more in recovery, or it will drive me to recover. You know, that's my choice. You know, and when they say the serenity prayer and they say, you know, we can't change you, but we can, dude, you can't change you either. You know, the second step took me out of the equation. The second step told me that there's a power greater than myself that could. The could is a big word, dude. Could is a big word. If you want to know where the could is, ask your sponsor. Or how about get one? Like the definition for surrender, I used to think was go to the mountaintop and find this elusive God and get like all these goosebumps and chills and then walk away and figure out what God just is telling me to do next. Which is a recipe for insanity. If I put God before Narcotics Anonymous, I'm crazy because I hear stuff. I have to bounce it off a network. You know, I have to bounce off what I hear from God off. I have to work a program of Narcotics Anonymous. Dude, this is what I do. I'm an NA person. You know, and dude, if I like go out here, because I've done that, dude. I go out here, dude, and I'll be like, just hearing God, dude. And then I'll call up my network, dude. And again, I don't want to name names, man, but if you're listening to the CD, dude, you know who you are. And I called you every day. And every day, dude would say, dude, just for today. Like, you know, no. Just for today. Dude, building the network, dude, is called calling the same people every single fucking day until they get to know me. You know, the same people. Every single day until they get to know me. Then they got something to work with. Because if I don't call you every day for... And when people get my number, dude, I try to make an agreement with them. Like, look, dude, call me every day and I'll make a commitment to call you every day. I don't care if you're new. I'll call... You know what I mean? I'm not like, we can't call the newcomer. Nobody takes me up on that, by the way, Harley. There's a few people. Actually, there are a few people. And that's all. I mean, dude, if you got like three people in your network that's really working with something, you're doing good, actually. For real. I mean, not network like... I mean, probably about 150 people in my network, but people that you fuck with, man, for real. You know? This dude here knows everything about me. My sponsor's last to get the news, dude. Still! Today! Still ain't got the news, dude. Oh, he got the news. He heard it from somebody else. He gets the news. He gets the news like, I'm enough for me. I'm not going there. Anyway, so I sat on the front row of a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, dude, and I had honesty, because I was honestly beat the fuck up. Not from my drug use, played a huge part, from myself. I'm my biggest enemy, man. I will get in the way of God's blessing and push Him out and take my life over and create a hot mess and share about it in every meeting. Not every meeting. I'm not somebody else I just thought of. I'm totally not naming names today. But anyway, shit plays out in NA, dude. I love NA, dude. It's so great, dude. You see like newcomers come in, dude, and they're like so broken and so beat down, and you watch the light bulbs come on, you know, and you watch them and get excited about recovery. And you watch them grow, and then you watch like other craziness that just happens in any meetings. Like, I love all of it. All of the craziness too. Like the fights and the brawls and the... Dude, we had a dude that like took care of himself during a meeting, right? The noon meeting, staring at newcomers. And I was thinking, oh my God, this motherfucker
can't hear you.
Is not doing what I... And I can't believe I just went here, but whatever, I'm already out there on the plank. So I'm like sitting there and I'm thinking, I heard about this, that the dude had pulled this number before. And I'm thinking like, I hope he doesn't get to hear this tape. It'd be, or whatever. So I made eye contact with the dude. He gave me like the creepiest look on the planet and like stopped. And I was like, dude, I just took one for the team. That day is crazy. Who wants to live group? A Narcotics Anonymous. We meet at 12 noon, Monday through Friday. We actually have some really, really good meet. There's a whole crop of newcomers, man, coming up in our area that I am so proud of. They are getting this thing, dude. They are getting excited about recovery. H and I, oh my God. H and I has been a hot mess the whole time I've been clean. It's pretty much non-existent until one lady had became chair and got it going. And then this other addict like became chair. And dude, I love H&I because my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting ever was in a detox. And it was the third meeting at the detox. And I was going to go into the meeting and share with them how I felt about drugs. And how I felt about drugs was that certain drugs are bad, you know. And other drugs are good. If used properly. You got to use them properly. You can't smoke good weed and drink. You know, it has to be a certain way of doing it. You know, hallucinogenics, you have to not do them too much and do them properly. And they're good. So I shared that in the Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Because I was just done, dude. I was like, I am so tired of all this recovery stuff. And it was the last meeting, dude. And that's why I like to say, man, Narcotics Anonymous, our solution is spiritual. You know, we have a spiritual solution. You know, if you go to a doctor and you tell him that you're an addict, he's probably going to give you a chemical solution. You know, if you go Google addiction, you'll probably get a book or something that's going to be an intellectual, you know, solution. There was a third one that it's not us either. I can't remember what it was. My mind was blank. But our solution is spiritual, dude. Like, the message of Narcotics Anonymous is something that you can't hear with your brain. It doesn't make sense. Not using drugs makes no sense at all. None. Complete abstinence? Like, really? Like, I mean, you gotta do something. I mean, if you're trying to get clean, you smoke high grade weed. And you take Xanax now and then. But the message is spiritual, dude. And they went around the room, dude. And that's why I'm so grateful for H&I, dude. I'm so grateful for the addicts to do service. You don't know who you're affecting when you do service, man. You don't know the lives you're changing when you show up to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and you share your experience, strength, and hope. And you talk to a newcomer outside of the meeting. You do not know. You will never know. But I know the guy that shared, he was a half African-American heavyset dude in a Walmart shirt. And he shared. And I heard the message of Narcotics Anonymous. And I don't remember the words. And I didn't hear it with my brain. I didn't hear it with my mind. I heard it with my heart. And I felt it. And that was my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And so, you know, and then I went to my wife's house at the time, which was like the greatest breakup in the history of mankind. My wife and I were married for 15 years, right? And when the wheels went off my life, you know, when the wheels completely came off my life, and we ain't got time for that drug along, I got out of detox and my wife called me and she says, "Do you want to come home?" And I was like, "No." And she was like, "Oh my God, thank God." She was like, because this bitch had to take a breath. And honestly, I had to take a breath, dude, because I'm not going there either because it's not Dave. So, dude, we like shook hands. That's a wrap. See ya. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. I'm good. Thanks for sharing. Don't keep coming back. It was like the most beautiful divorce on the planet. And we're still like, I wouldn't say we're friends, dude. Like, that's the hardest relationship in the world that God had to change my heart. Dude, the relationship that ties it by, whatever. She wanted to put my kid on ADD medicine. My kid is the most well-adjusted, perfect 10-year-old on the planet. She's 10. And she wanted to put her on, she didn't want to put her on, she wanted to take her to see a psychiatrist. No offense, not a big fan. Just that's my. We have no opinion on outside issues. I'm not a fan in general of the pharmaceutical industry or psychiatrists. Just me. And definitely not from my tent. Dude, that's when you find out when my sponsor called. I call my sponsor, right? He goes, well, you wrote on an AIDS. Dude, my sponsor is so emotionally detached and so logical and knows me so well and speaks in the most judgmental terms on the... He's the most non-judgmental dude in the world. And he just said to me, he goes, well, this is where you find out, like, you've been writing on steps and we went over them, but really, step work is about applying them to your life. And this is where you find out what you're pretty much really working with. Hey, what are you going to do here? Because Billy's way is to call her up and put her down and call her a hot mess, which I did all that, actually, now that I think about it. I did that. And then I talked to my 10-year-old and tried to get her on my side. You know what my 10-year-old tells my wife, ex-wife? She says, Daddy's trying to manipulate me, and I don't like it. Dude, my kid is an NA kid, dude. She knows more. She hates hearing. She knows more of this stuff. She can do key tags. And she knows when you're trifling, dude. She will call you out in the backseat of my Prius. Yeah, I'm a heavy metal head that looks like a biker that drives a Prius. Get over it. It's a contradiction. And all I ever do is talk about living in the now, and I'm the most jittery ADD person on planet Earth. My first girlfriend in 11 months, dude, she was like one of the supporters. Like, don't bring supporters to meetings because they're dangerous. Because they're sick enough to maybe like me, but they're not wanting, no offense, they're not an addict. Used to be. I'm not like that anymore. I'm like way more put together now. Can't you tell? Oh my God. How much time do I have? I'm missing so much good Gucci sharing. How much time I got? Oh my God. I got to share about Joe. Oh, you're not supposed to mention names. What the hell was I just talking about? Oh, my kid. My kid fucking knows all about NA, whatever. Oh, here's the end of my run. Here's what stopped the train, dude. Right? I came off a 6-week run where I stopped going to work, stopped going home, just stopped at my sister's house now and then to get a shower. It was ripping and running, dude. Using. Because the pain of not using was so hard, dude. I just kept using. You know, the pain of who I am without drugs was too much for me. So I stayed high. At the end, dude, the pain of active addiction, and when the wheels fall off, and my wife at the time says, you can't be with your daughter alone anymore by yourself. Everything stopped. I was like, Scooby-Doo, dude, like, huh? What? She was like, yeah. Oh, no, first of all, she pulled a drug test out on my ass and gave me that, because I told her I was just, whatever. So she said, we got a place for you. There's a lady at the place. There was always a lady at the place. Go see the lady at the place. She's real nice. She's got a big folder, you know, with your name on the top of it. They're waiting on you over there at the mental health unit. They're going to send your ass to something, do something. And I was like, willing, dude. Talk about willingness. You know, I had a moment of clarity of willingness, and then I went and ripped and run for 2 weeks and almost died. I was OD'd on E while I was cooking myself in this dude's apartment that had scleroderma. They kept it real hot. While I was ODing on ecstasy, and all I did was drink Dr. Pepper. And I found out in detox when I watched a movie about, like, this other movie called Bad Boys 2, that can actually kill you. Right? My brain was literally, I could feel it going around in my head, and I was hearing stuff, dude. I was hearing, like, rats running and things happening. Oh, shit. That sounds crazy. For you on the tape, I just hit the mic. So I almost died. Oh my God, I'm so grateful to be here today, dude. I gotta tell my Ocean City story for Adam. He loves the story. So I'm 42 days clean, dude. Recovery is not about what you do. It's about where you're going. It's not about, like, work as much as about positioning. I positioned myself to where they asked me to go to Ocean City. Get in a car and go. Don't have any money. We don't care. What's a convention? You'll find out. How much money do I need? None. I had $90, got in a car, and went with these two addicts to Ocean City. One of the addicts was a guy that always walked up to me when I would go to that noon meeting and talk to me. He had like 30 days. Always would talk to me. I don't give a fuck. His name's Joey. And I think he's out there. I don't know. Maybe he's not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where he's at. So me and Joey and another dude named Russ went to the Ocean City convention with 42 days clean. Reservations in tow. Y'all fuck up somebody's fucking high, dude. Like, you know what I mean? It's a game changer when you come to Ocean City, dude, and you're new. That's a game changer. If you use after Ocean City, you just use. You just want to use. You know what I mean, dude? Because at the clean time countdown, they went to the clean time countdown, dude, and like I had to go up to get my basic text, and all those, I don't care, I'm going to say it, those heavy set African American women were hugging me and crying, and I was so overwhelmed, dude, I felt so much love, dude, in that room, and the whole like countdown to keep coming back and all the craziness, dude, it like changed my life, you know, and the next night, or that night, or some night, I went out back and I was messing with my phone. How long do I have anyway?
Five minutes.
So I was messing with my phone, right? And Russ walked up. He goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Erasing my drug dealer's phone numbers." And when I thought about what I was going to share last night, yesterday morning and this morning in the shower, I started to cry, dude. I'm an emotional dude anyway. That's not a stretch. But I love Narcotics Anonymous, dude. And I love our message. You know, our message that any addict, anybody can stop using drugs. That's step one. Lose the desire. I lost the desire probably in like 30 days, you know, for a moment. And find a new way to live. The new way to live piece, that's a bitch. That is not easy. That's the hard part. But dude, I cried in the shower because I'm so grateful, dude, because I was 42 days clean. They didn't have to take me to Ocean City. You know, Joey didn't have to walk up to me and talk to me at every meeting. The other dude that shared about what I started out to share with, because I'm ADD, I skipped over, what I identified with when that dude shared and became my sponsor was his pain. When he shared the pain, I identified with that, you know, and I could connect with the people in that room. And I remember like a couple of weeks in, I was at the Sunday night meeting, hot mess NA meeting, and in a good way, it was just, we're just unique people. They went around the room and they were sharing, and this dude, it looked like long hair, it looked like this big burly biker, started sharing how he was like praying and talking to angels before the meeting. He was clearly insane, right? And he was an NA member with like 5 or 6 years. And I remember hearing the people share and looking at him share and thinking to myself, dude, I am right at home. This is like my home. These people are fucking crazy. Like, this dude's nuts. You know, and I felt at home. You know, because I'm crazy. In relationships, the ties that bind, there's some men out there, dude, that have saved my life, dude. Clean. I've called men crying. Tore out the frame. Crying. Like my insides were right here and I'm here. You know, you start taking suggestions sometimes when you're in pain. Because I remember an addict sharing about journaling in a meeting. How much time I got? 3. In a meeting. And you know how you don't take suggestions when things are going good? Right? Popped in my head, journal. But my journal was in my boot store. I lived like across an alley. I made my way over the journal, barely, crying. And I found when I journaled, I got better. And I found when I talked to certain dudes on the phone, I got better just for that day. And what happened was my tears of pain turned into tears of gratitude because my pain drove me into the arms of my higher power. You know, and I ended up finding a true relationship with a higher power and a true network and a true step and a true home group and a true sponsor. Because I'm the guy that got the AA. Oh my God. I had the AA sponsor, right? Sponsoring dudes in NA, and we're going through the steps in 30 days in AA, and I got them sharing about the sixth step with like 40 days in the NA meetings, driving the predecessors crazy in our area. I was that guy. And loved it. But what it was a way for me to identify out. You know, if I went to all these different fellowships, you know, it was a way for my story is to not really get to know. I knew everybody in the recovery community in Fredericksburg at one point, a lot of people, but I didn't know anybody for real. You know, and the pain drove me to the arms of some addicts, some men. Just slow walked me through, dude, the pain of my own choices, my inability to accept personal responsibilities. Dude, I created my own problems, dude. I wouldn't take suggestions, dude. I want to run off self-wills. I want what the fuck I want when I want it, and I want it now. Ain't taking a suggestion. We'll worry about that later. And then, where am I at? in so much pain I can't move. And I had to, one time I was in so much pain I had to make my way from the house to the boot store, and I found myself where I couldn't make it. I was grabbing the walls and I fell, right? And I'm in pain and I'm crying because the journal was in the boot store. And in that moment I was on a six step, right? And I saw like how my whole life, the way I think and the way I think about things and respond to life is completely self-centered to the core. And it was like I was broke open and my higher power came in. And I worked a true six step in that moment. Then I realized I should probably keep my journal at my house. I mean, why am I walking like all over the place? So, thanks for letting me share.